but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
There are eight cities buzzing, and a lot of people outside those eight cities buzzing, but there are eight hosts for the Super Regional round of the softball playoffs, the Division I softball playoffs, including Eugene Super Regional, game one of that Super Regional, Oregon hosting Liberty. Game one is tomorrow night. Liberty coming off a big upset win over Texas A&M. Here to talk about it all, Sydney Supley of the Big Ten Network. She's all over softball because she can play softball. Sydney, thank you for making time for us. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm wonderful. This is always one of my favorite weekends of the year. The fact that eight teams get to have an opportunity to punch their ticket to Oklahoma City, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, the Elite Eight will bounce on. We're at the Sweet 16 round for people trying to wrap their heads around softball. But you tell me, how much of a surprise is it that Oregon is hosting and Liberty's still alive? Like, what do you make of this Super Regional here in Eugene?
One of the biggest surprises, honestly, we've ever seen in softball, because Liberty was the first team ever in the Super Regional era to knock off the number one seed in the nation, being Texas A&M. And I think for Oregon, this is a huge opportunity. They only have two losses at home this year. They've been incredibly dominant at Jane Stadium. And it's just a group that loves playing in front of their home crowd, especially when they're selling it out. They range between over 3,000 people in the stands. So you can expect to see a lot of Ducks fans in lines hours beforehand, trying to do whatever they can to will their team, especially after they saw them have to fight last weekend and win two games on Sunday to even be in this position.
Yeah, they showed a lot of resilience down against Stanford 4-0 and 7-3 in that elimination game. Paige Sinicki, the shortstop at Oregon, came on our show, and you know, Sydney, she said she looked up during the celebration and she saw football players at Oregon jumping over the stands and storming the field. Like, what a role reversal that's really cool.
Oh my goodness. You know, it was so funny is watching the game in studio. We saw all of a sudden like a group of 20 men rush the field and we're like, well, this isn't the first time I've seen that a softball game. And I think they quickly realized as well that this is not a football field and people don't normally do that. But the team, you could tell, loved having them. And it just goes to show how much excitement is at Oregon right now just around this softball team. I mean, it's the first time in the Melissa Lombardi era that they captured a regular season title. And they truly feel like they have the depth from pitching to defense. You mentioned Paige Sinicki being a Gold Glove winner last year, and then they have so many different ways to score within their offense.
The you know, the Liberty win over A&M, I want to say, hey, that's an emotionally draining series. They had to go on the road to win that. They're back on the road again in a hostile environment. You've played the game. You've been around teams. Do you sense maybe Liberty that there could be an emotional letdown in this one, or when you've got good pitching and you got lightning in a bottle, you just upset the number one seed, you got Dot Richardson in the dugout, you know, do you always have a chance?
Coach Richardson, I'm glad you said her name, one of the best ever in the sport, and her team's going to come in ready to play, if that's something that we all saw. And, you know, even though they're not per se in a Power Four conference, a lot of people had Liberty circled as a potential host school, actually, in the tournament. So they're somebody who aren't really catching people, I'd say, by surprise, especially when they have a few key players like Rachel Rope. She went 5-for-9 in the regional championship. And then you have the Conference USA Pitcher of the Year, Elena Escobar. She started all four games in regionals. So I expect to see her get the ball right away. I think what's going to be the key difference when I look at this matchup is Oregon has depth when you look at almost at every single position, whereas I think Liberty has a few stars, but you would argue that the Ducks just have a lot more arms they could go to late on in the series. So if we get to a game three, I think that's where it could be really interesting. But I think the most exciting part is both teams are coming off so much momentum. They played every single game that was possible in the regional, so they've been recovering super hard. And you know that both sides are going to leave everything on the field.
You mentioned Melissa Lombardi, the coach at Oregon. I know when, you know, when you know, Coach White left to go to Texas, there were a lot of bad feelings in Eugene. Some people felt school didn't pay him enough. Other people felt, gosh, how could he leave? And I still am kind of hopeful that Oregon can get to the College World Series and maybe play Texas. It would kind of come full circle. But what does this mean for Melissa Lombardi? She's been to a super regional, but what would it mean to kind of punch through?
This is finally her time. And when you look at Lombardi's resume, there wasn't a resume like hers coming in was a part of how many national championships and conference championships at Oklahoma. But now she's really been able to make her own thumbprint on this program. And it's the first time we're seeing really a full graduating class and recruits that she recruited on her own now in the Oregon uniform. And that's where I think you're seeing the biggest difference, especially in the pitching staff. That's always been her DNA. And the fact that you have Lindsey Grine, who most of the year was leading the nation in wins, and then we saw Lisa Kolsky really emerge as that number two and having to take over a few starts late on in the game. But then I think, again, the depth part, Stacey Chambers, somebody who had 18 innings coming into this really playoff situation, she was the key difference maker that helped them win on Sunday in throwing her second longest outing with 4 innings pitched. So for them, they just have so many options because of the way that Lombardi has trained this team. And then offensively, the fact that you have a team who's able to put up over 160 stolen bases and then over 60 home runs. I mean, there is not a truer type of athlete than what she is creating.
Sydney Supley is our guest, Big Ten Network. We're talking softball here. Oregon hosting a super regional. Friday night, game one against Liberty. Saturday, game two. Sunday, game three if necessary. Sydney, you've played the game. How important is it not just to win game one, but to get ahead early in a game one?
Yeah, there's an 80% chance if you win game one, you end up going to Oklahoma City. That's how drastic it is. Now, if you look back at my personal experience, we always won game one and then dropped game two. So I only know going to game three, unfortunately, in super regionals. But just to be able to come out, throw that first punch is so huge, especially for Oregon. If they're at home, you want to get the crowd excited behind them right away. And for them to be able to hide arms come later on in the series, is going to be key. But they're just a lineup that I think is so deadly. When I look 1-9, I love the changes that Melissa Lombardi has made, bringing up Kedri Lushar to the 2 spot, right back-to-back with her sister Kyla Shar. They were an unbelievable 1-2 punch that really paid off in the regionals. Then you have Riley McCoy, who today was named a top 3 finalist for Freshman Player of the Year. And then Stephanie Maake, part of the Power 4 Freshman Phenoms. She had a huge weekend as well.
Oregon and Liberty playing for a berth to the Women's College World Series. I want to pivot to another series that you may have your eye on in Columbia, South Carolina. It'll be South Carolina, the 8 seed, against number 9, UCLA. For people who have been following the Bruins, I think there's a lot of interest in that series from a Big Ten or an old world Pac-12 standpoint. But, Sydney, what do you see in that South Carolina-UCLA series?
You know, it's interesting. I was looking back through the series history today, and the Bruins are 12-1 against South Carolina. Now, they haven't played since 2017, so all of these players are going to be it's a fresh scouting report, really, against each other, which I love those type of matchups come playoffs. These aren't familiar faces. This is going to be a true first battle for both of these women on both sides. But what I love about the Bruins is they took care of business right away. They had 3 games in regionals. All 3 were run rules. You had the Bash brothers between Jordan Woolery and Megan Grant continued to bash on, both of them having home runs within the series. And on top of that, they have one of the deepest, again, similar to Oregon, pitching staffs in the country, where Kelly Inouye Perez has done a phenomenal job in training. Caitlin Terry, Taylor Tinsley, you came in as preseason All-Americans, and then bringing in their freshman, Addison Fisher, who is the number one recruit in the country coming in this year. And all three of them have Friday night starts, Saturday night starts, Sunday night starts. So you can expect any one of those three at any point.
I am curious about your take on some of these other series. You've got some really interesting matchups with, you know, a number six ranked Texas or six seed Texas playing 11 Clemson. You've got an unranked or an unseeded Nebraska playing against number seven Tennessee. You know, when you look around, is there another series that jumps off the bracket at you right now?
The last one you mentioned, Tennessee and Nebraska, that is one that I am going to be glued to the TV as we cover it in studio. I think you have two of the best arms in softball going against what will be the most dominant rubber matches we've ever seen in the sport between the Vols, Carlin Pickens, who's the hardest throwing pitcher we've ever seen, professional or at the college level. She's topping speeds up to 78 miles per hour. And then you have her going against Jordy Ball, who has been unreal in video game type numbers of 25 wins on the mound. She's 20 plus home runs. She's part of the 2020 club that only five players ever in NCAA softball history have come to. So it's going to come down to, I feel like, which teams have the most depth, because when you list off these regionals, they have superstars on every part of it that have that Women's College World Series. I even look at Texas Tech. That was one of the ones that you mentioned. Nyjah Kennedy, we've seen her lead Stanford back-to-back years to the Women's College World Series, and now she's up against the test to do it for the first time with Texas Tech, and they believe they have the team to do so in year one of her transferring, which is, would be so much of a credit to how dominant she is in being able to carry any program to new heights.
For people who don't know, our guest, Sydney Supley, she grew up in Wisconsin. You go to Oshkosh North High School. You're the Gatorade Player of the Year. You played all kinds of club softball for the Beverly Bandits. And you take your grants that you got for the Gatorade Player of the Year and you use it to help build a softball complex in your hometown. You give back. I think that's so cool. Why was that important to you?
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. Honestly, for me, I just was always raised that you want to leave places better than you found it. And that was exactly my motivation. I was fortunate enough to grow up with nieces and nephews, and I looked at the facilities that we had when I was a kid, and I just wanted them to have a better ballpark than what I had. And it's been super rewarding to continue to invest within the ballpark. And actually last year I had my first hometown camp back at my ballpark in Oshkosh, and it was so special to bring so many former college teammates who we all went to the Women's College World Series together, and some current players, and to have them coaching just girls from my hometown was such a surreal moment. And I'm getting ready to plan year number two, which is going to continue to be even more special as we grow it. And I think for me too, I just want to show everybody that Wisconsin can develop really talented softball players.
Well, you went to Northwestern, for people who are wondering, and you never made it, right? You got to the Supers. You got to that game three. What happened? What do you think about when you think back to your experience?
Well, actually, in 2022, we did make it.
Okay.
We beat ASU. Yep, it was a crazy series. And for those who are watching, they were suffering on the central time zone, staying up till 1, 2 in the morning, some of the games. Every single game went into extra innings in 2022. Wow. Against Arizona State. Ultimately, we won it. We came back from a five-run deficit to punch our first ticket to Oklahoma City as a program since 2008. So that was a pretty surreal moment. And then my last year in 2023, we fell in game three to Alabama. But that's why this weekend's so special to me, because I've seen both sides of it. I've seen my dreams come true. I felt the heartbreak. And I think the fact that to even have these opportunities for so many of these women, there's not a weekend like it. And you just have to cherish every single moment through the good, through the bad, and just really celebrate the journey with all the people who are in the stands that have helped you get there.
ESPNU will have the Friday night game, Oregon Liberty. ESPN or ESPN2 will get game two. Wide exposure. this sport has come a long way. You can flip a TV on. Everyone can watch this happening at this stage of the tournament, and I think that's really important. And you got people like Dot Richardson at Liberty who are probably like, hey, man, nobody got to see me on ESPN and see me on this stage, even though she was a dominant player. What's the future of softball in your mind, and how big can this sport be?
I think sky's the limit. And even to put some numbers to what you're saying, it was one of the highest ratings ever in the regionals, got that Liberty Texas A&M. All Sunday, both games had over 500,000 viewers. It was up 5% from the last year. So I think just as a sport, we're seeing the fan base grow because we're investing in the sport more. The facilities are getting better, and that's just allowing the athlete to get better and to have better training facilities. And I'm just excited that as the investment comes, the viewership's only going to continue to increase, and we're going to see a payoff because this sport is fun. It's full of women who are so passionate in everything they do, and I just think there's a level of speed that this game brings and reaction time that makes it really exciting for the viewers.
Could you get people out right now if we give you a softball and a glove?
I might be able to get a few. I think I might be sore, though, if I try swinging it these days.
You're not that far removed from playing, all right? So don't act like you couldn't get... Yeah, we could bring you in short relief. That'd be okay?
Short relief. Give me two innings.
All right. Sydney, thank you for joining us. I'm excited to see what happens here and... Feels like Oregon's on the cusp of something here, and that atmosphere at the Jane is going to be something else.
It'll be a special weekend. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Sydney Supley of the Big Ten Network. It'll be Oregon and Liberty. Game one taking place tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. It'll be on ESPNU. Game two with Oregon and Liberty will be at 4 p.m. on Saturday, either on ESPN or ESPN2. So pay attention to that. UCLA will be playing also tomorrow morning game. So it'll be all day on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU. But softball everywhere. And fun to be able to talk about something else. Like, we talk a lot about football in this show. And we talk a lot about the Pac-12 and media rights and all this stuff. It's nice to be able to talk about people being excited about another sport. Rob Mullins, the Oregon AD, will be on tomorrow's show in Hour 1. We'll talk about this with him as he maybe takes a little victory lap and talks about his softball program, among other things. We will talk some football with him. I want you to leave it here. Our Big Splash is coming up.